So could we do something about this? So let me introduce a parameter s. When s is 0, this is completely flat, and when s is 1, this contrast is too high. So I'm really proactively grabbing this image and modifying it myself by hand. I mean, just doing this, choosing such a parameter, assuming that we know a priori that there is nothing in contrast as high as 3. So I'm just moving it like this. And now the question would be, it's a very restricted inverse problem. Can we deduce what would be the best value for this parameter s? Let's see. If I try to do this using the DN matrix, what I do here, I compute for all of these frames here, I compute the DN matrix, I subtract these, and I'm showing you the L2 difference between these two DN matrices. So what happens here is that if you go to the minimum, we see that the DN map somehow is not very optimal for detecting the best contrast. It really gives a lousy contrast. It's even worse than the one we started with. But then, if we try the same thing with the CGO sinogram, we see that it gives a much more sharp minimum here. And we can see that when we look at the minimal discrepancy in the sense of the CGO sinogram, we see that the contrast is pretty good. It's actually, I think it's pretty much correct. So after making these videos for kind of collecting intuition to myself, I was thinking that maybe this is really a way to go. Let's try to use this CGO sinogram for some a bit more non-trivial than this. So this is the first thing we have now tried with it. What we do here is we take the D-bar reconstruction and consider it actually an Ambrosio Tortorelli flow at time zero. Ambrosio Tortorelli segmentation method is kind of a practical version of the Mumford-Shah image segmentation model. So we let the segmentation run. What happens, this is converging towards a piecewise constant picture. Then we could just take this picture, but I want this to be data-driven. Namely, one of the maybe drawbacks or features of the D-bar method is that we never check if the reconstruction has a similar gives similar EIT measurements than the original. There is no check of that. It's just a low-pass filter. So actually, we could combine this sharpening and edge preservation with better contrast. I just showed you a very simple contrast enhancement. Here we do it a bit more complicated way. We assume that the conductivity is 1 near the boundary. So we do this contrast enhancement trick for conductivity values below 1 and above 1 separately. So we have two parameters, S and T, independent of each other. One of them is modifying what is under 1, and the other one is modifying what's above 1. So for each of these guys, we do this double contrast enhancement. This is what we get, this kind of sequence of images with more and more edges and as good contrast as we can do based on EIT measurements. And then we choose the one among this flow here that has the smallest CGO sinogram error. This way we are kind of combining the PDE-based tradition of nonlinear inversion and the modern imaging methods, which are kind of another strong field in inverse problems. So this is, I would like to say, it's an example of inverse problems and imaging. So this is the result we get from this approach. So you see we have introduced a lot more edges. So this is a bit more piecewise constant. We could think that if we know a priori that our conductivity is piecewise constant, we can use the D-bar method to recover the low frequencies, roughly speaking, then import a priori knowledge that it is piecewise constant by using the Ambrosio Tortorelli flow that will take it to a piecewise constant limit, plus the contrast enhancement to remove any problems from the low pass filter that tends to reduce contrast. Okay. So after this initial, in my view, promising example of using these techniques, let me mention that there are other things one could do. First of all, there is really a big body of work about EIT based on applying Tikhonov regularization. While there is no formal proof that Tikhonov regularization will regularize EIT because it's such a nonlinear problem, anyway, in practice, many output regularized least squares methods give quite nice and useful images for EIT. I think it would be interesting to see if in the usual Tikhonov approach, where we have a priori information in the regularization term and the data discrepancy term here, usually using either the Dirichlet-Neumann map or maybe current voltage matrices, what happens if we replace this guy that contains both the stable and unstable information, replace this one with by the difference in CGO sinograms, throwing away the unstable information and focusing on the stable information. This would be a much more clearer division between a priori information in the regularization part and stable measurement information in the data discrepancy part. Maybe we would get much more robust and better images. Could even be that this would be less nonlinear than this one, because we are applying a nonlinear pre-processing step going from the DN matrix to the CGO sinogram. I think this would be interesting to see. Another thing is that we can actually try to do this D-bar approach for partial boundary measurements, which is very important, especially in 3D situations. But even in 2D, as I computed with Sarah Hamilton, we wanted to see what happens if we try to apply the D-bar method to the situation where we only have data from a part of the boundary. So we just tried. There is actually no theoretical justification yet. But what we did is we took the boundary integral equation of Nachmann's, wrote it instead of the Fourier bases that are global on the circle, we wrote it in a wavelet basis. Then we actually just restricted the equation to the part of the boundary where we have measurements. We only use those basis functions that are supported in that part. Now it seems that here the black one is the correct, the actual trace of the CGO solution. You see from the half of the data or quarter of the data when solving this equation, we get the pretty much the correct result, at least enough correct to see a reconstruction like this. So this kind of gives the impression that maybe the CGO sinogram could be defined and used as a partial boundary version. There is no restriction of using this in 3D either. Numerically speaking, three-dimensional D-bar method has been kind of seems to be kind of difficult. So, but the difficult part is the step from the frequency data, from the nonlinear Fourier transform to the conductivity. Well, maybe the CGO sinogram based approach would go around that problem, because we don't need to solve any D-bar equations. We would just use another kind of method controlled by the CGO sinogram. Also, I would like to mention that the D-bar methodology actually can be extended from the EIT case, which is the so-called zero-energy CGO solution case, using either positive or negative energies in a specific technical way. One can actually take this methodology to Helmholtz situations, to wave imaging, maybe seismic imaging, ultrasound imaging, and also to optical tomography. This is a positive energy case, this is a negative energy case. So it seems to be rather straightforward to implement the CGO sinogram also for these cases, now that actually my student Janne Tamminen has produced numerical codes for the appropriate Green's functions. Okay. I think this is pretty much all I wanted to say. If you got interested, let me make a little advertisement. You can find stuff about this D-bar method in my recent book with Jennifer Müller. And let me mention that all the MATLAB codes, including the D-bar stuff, are freely available on the web. So if you want to try this thing, it's now easy to do so. Thank you very much.
You mentioned about characterizing the two-bit duplex non-in-MAP. Well, it strikes me in the discrete case for resistor networks, the duplex non-in-MAP matrices are completely characterized.
Brilliant. Oh.
And there's also Ingemann and Morrow's paper that said that the 2D duplex non-in-MAP kernel has the same properties, so necessary conditions. So it's not completely characterized, but there's lots of conditions it has to satisfy. So in your early spike, where you said we know quite a lot about it. In a discrete case, we know everything about it.
Right.
So, but I suppose what I wondered in light of your talk, whether we can characterize the CTO sinogram space.
Yeah, could be.
Is there anything you know about that?
No, at this moment, I must say no. And I remember we talked about this also previously. Here, and after our discussion, I went carefully through the literature. I really couldn't find any characterization of the actual DN matrices in the which is not the resistor network case. So I think
Ingemann and Morrow's paper applies the same condition essentially to the matrix you get from the disk by applying point measurements.
Okay.
So that's for the continuum case, but it's not. It's necessary condition.
Right. Because in that case, if one knew that set, one could maybe project there to get rid of noise in that way. But I don't think it's really practical at this moment. At least I haven't really seen. But maybe. John, are you asking something?
No.
You look like that.
Just exercising.
Excellent. Okay.
Can you talk about the complexity in 2D and 3D? So in 2D, you have to compute boundary integrals, it's on a line. It's not a problem. But in 3D, your boundary integrals are on a surface.
Yes.
Can you talk for a second about the computational complexity of the D-bar in 3D?
I know Kim Knudsen's group has an implementation where they use spherical harmonics. They work on the ball, and they use spherical harmonics. I think it's pretty much a matter of how many basis functions you need to represent the exponential function well enough at the boundary, and then the other operators. I think I don't know what to say. I mean, my intuition is that it's of course heavier computation than this 2D case, but I think it's doable, and there is the implementation. I know this part where they go from where they solve the boundary integral equation. I think it's lightning fast. It's less than a second for sure. It's really really quick, I think. So I think the main problems there are going from the information on the Fourier side to the conductivity.
Just wanted to ask. I also looked at this truncated data business, and I thought you have to be careful with the representation you use in the truncation window. It should be differentiable at the edges, otherwise you're going to get some ringing out. Did you use some which kind of wave that you use some differentiable smooth wavelet?
No, we used just hard wavelet. Just this was kind of.
Didn't you find this problem then that it because it cuts the
well, I think
the data very sharply. So
I know, but I mean, judging from these results, we didn't face really very serious problems. I mean, we can get this good approximations from this partial boundary, so it doesn't seem to matter at least to this step. Okay, cool.
Okay, other questions?
No, thank you very much, Osama Bin.